I'm glad you all came this morning. I know we've got some visitors here. Glad you're here this morning. And you know, this is a second Sunday. We kicked off Advent season last week, and we talked about hope and the first candle of hope, what it means. Where do we get our hope from? And I know hope only comes from one place. Our hope only comes from Jesus. Amen. And that's, I mean, he's the only one that can bring hope to a hopeless world. And today, though, we kick off the second one, we're talking about peace. And I know in life, I know in my life, it's hard to find peace. It really is sometimes. And even though I'm close to God, I try to stay close to God as much as I possibly can. You know, that's what we do, right? But it seems like it's hard to find peace. It's hard to find that. Sometimes you just want to just go away somewhere. You know, whether it's out, I just sometimes want to just go out in the woods or go out into my shop. You know, I want to just go out there, not because I'm mad at anybody, but because I just want to get away from everything that distracts me. And I want to just clear my mind and not worry about anything. And I know we're not supposed to worry. Worry can, but we do, right? And it's not necessarily that it festers inside of us. Sometimes it does, but it's that always concerned about something going on in our life. And every one of us have that. It's this concern we have all the time. And every time we think we got one thing taken care of and it's all over, okay, I've got through that, we start to take a deep breath and something else comes up. Now, who's with me on that, right?
Amen.
I mean, I think we can all say that. But it seems like there's always something going on. And in our scripture focus this morning in Isaiah, you know, for hundreds of years, the Jewish people they had hope that there was a coming Messiah. They had this hope that he was going to come and he was going to bring a peace to the world. And that's what they, you know, and they lived in this world of chaos and always problems and, you know, just, you know, they didn't have the luxuries. You know, we're so blessed here. Some of the minor luxuries that we have today, they didn't have then at all. And we think about how bad we've got it. You know, we really do. And I'm not saying that some of us, we have pretty rough sometimes. We really do in our circumstances. And I'm not going to take away any of that because I know some of the problems and some of the things that some people deal with, and it's tough. It's real tough. And we look for that peace. And sometimes we look hopeless, feel hopeless. But when we put our trust in Him, and we hope that God, you know, the Word is true, and what the Word says is He will send hope. He will send peace. That's what He says. And in the book of Isaiah this morning, we're going to read and I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, Lord. Let it bring knowledge to us. Let it bring understanding to us, Lord. Open up our hearts this morning. Clear our minds that we may receive it, Lord. Let me speak what you want me to say this morning. Let my mind be clear so that your words may be heard. Lord, I praise you. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I love this right here in chapter 11. It says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the people of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness will the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near a cobra's den. The young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy. On my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nation will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time and reclaim the surviving remnant of his people for Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonian, from Hamath, and from the islands of the Mediterranean. He will raise a banner for all nations. I'm going to stop right there. You know, so often we come accustomed to a life filled with stress and all these things going on in our life. It just seems like it's always like I was saying earlier, it just seems like we just get accustomed to it. And it seems like there's never any real peace. No matter where we go, no matter which direction we go, we never find any real peace. But that's this world that we live in, and we get tired of it, and we get beat down, and we get stressed out, and we live this life of turmoil. And just like the life before the Jews had, they lived in this chaotic time. In this chaotic time, this stressful time was brought on by the Assyrians. And peace was not a part of their ordinary life. Does it sound familiar? You can't even turn the TV on today and find any peace there, right? No. You watch the news and it's always all over the world. It just seems like there's always something going on and there's no peace. And it seems like they didn't know what peace even looked like anymore, because they lived in that place for so long. I know, I think about my life. There's been times in my life where I've lived there in that place of no peace. That place where it just seemed like it was always stressful and always something going on. And I let it get to me and I let it fester inside of me and I let it make me miserable. I let it make me miserable. And it seemed like no matter where I looked, no matter where I searched, I couldn't find peace in my life. That's what life was like for them then. I feel like it's a lot of what life is like now. Not much different. Isaiah uses a lot of words to picture in his prophecies what he's talking about. You know, and in the scripture focus this morning, he's talking about trees. And the trees are representing people. And even in chapter 10... just in the previous verses before 11, he says this in verse 33, "See the Lord Almighty will lop off the boughs with great power. The lofty trees will be felled, the tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. Lebanon will fall before the mighty one." You know, what he's talking about here is people. He's referring to the Assyrian soldiers that as a group look like a forest, mighty and powerful. But he says they will be cut down just like the trees. And the Bible says here that even in some of the translations that God's axe will make them like toothpicks. The Lebanon army will be reduced to nothing more than kindling, is what he's saying. You know, knowing this background Today, the scripture begins by saying a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Judah, the royal line of David, would be like a tree chopped down to a stump. But from the stump, a new shoot would grow, the Messiah. He would be greater than the original tree and would bear much fruit. That's something to look hopeful to, right? That was the prophecy that they had. You know, this is Isaiah's way of saying peace is on its way. Peace is on its way. And for hundreds of years, this is what they stood on. This is what they believed. This is what they kept. This is the hope that they had that someday there will be peace. Peace in a chaotic place. Peace in stressful times. Peace when there seems like there is no peace. Isaiah saying that Jesus, the Savior, the hope for the Messiah, is going to come to bring peace, and He is going to come from a house, from the household of David. And you know, David is called the son of Jesse. Why? Because this particular scripture here, I'm going to read, it says that the name of Jesse instead of David. Why did he use that? The reason is that David's father was Jesse, and he lived in obscurity. When you know the history there, the name of Jesse was not a big name in the countryside. His family was a small account. And in 1 Samuel 18:18, it says, it was a way of contempt and reproach that David was sometimes called the son of Jesse. The royal family, David, he was cut down and only a stump was left. The family was just cut down to the point where there was nothing left of them in history. Yet Isaiah says, it shall sprout again. There's a scripture in Job 14:7 that says this, at least there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. Man, that's a good scripture, isn't it? You know, it seems like to me that no matter, you know, when we look at our lives, no matter how far that we've been cut down by the world, and no matter how low we've gotten, there's always a chance. There's always the thought. There's always, let me use the right word. There's always hope. Amen. That we can sprout back up again. Amen.
And I just praise the Lord every day for coming into my life.
Amen. It's good.
God may use
me. Amen.
That's what He does.
Thank you, brother. In 2 Kings 19:30 says, once more a remnant of the house of Judah will take root below and bear fruit above. Isaiah 27:6 says, in the days to come Jacob will take root. Israel will bud and blossom and fill all the world with fruit. Isaiah 53:2 says, He grew up before Him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. Revelations 5:5 says, see, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. You know, I think about, what about people? You know, as it looked as if it would be impossible for their circumstances and situations. Sometimes, you know, back then, that's what they thought. It was impossible sometimes for the situations and circumstances that they're in to find hope and to find peace. And I think we're just like that today. Sometimes we think that it's impossible to find hope, and we don't find any peace anywhere. But I'm telling you this morning, if you put your trust in Jesus, if you look towards Him, you'll find that hope and you'll find that peace in your life. Amen. Can we have peace in times of turmoil?
Amen.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
How is it possible? Sometimes we think, how is it possible in my life with all the things that I've done and all the things that I've gone through? Isaiah's prophecy here comes true. It started with the angels appearing to Mary and to Joseph, and then 9 months later, the prophecy was fulfilled by the birth of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And something that they'd been waiting on, the hope that they had, the peace was coming. And had come. I believe today, I know today in my heart, that you can experience peace like you've never experienced before.
Amen.
And it's all because of Jesus. Isaiah says, yes, because Jesus would be qualified to bring the peace we need. That's what Isaiah is saying. The prophecy goes on to say this: the Spirit of the Lord will rest on Him. The Spirit of wisdom and power, understanding and knowledge. Counsel for the fear of the Lord. You know, He's been given these qualities. Jesus was given these qualities, and He says, guess what? I've been given these qualities, and if you accept Me into your life, I will give you these qualities too. And with these qualities, then you can have hope in your life, and you can have peace in your life, and you can have joy in your life, because then you understand, you have the knowledge, the wisdom, the power, and the strength that the Holy Spirit brings. And without it, we don't have that. Without it, we don't have hope. Without it, we don't have peace in our life. There's a story I want to share with you. I read this story and it really touched me. I want you to picture in your minds. Years ago, there was a very wealthy man who, with his devoted young son, shared a passion for art collecting. Together, they traveled around the world, adding only the finest art treasures to their collection. The whittled, elderly old man looked on with satisfaction at his only child as he became more experienced as an art collector. The son's trained eye and a sharp business mind caused his father to beam with pride as they dealt with art collectors all around the world. As winter approached, war engulfed the nation, and the young man left to serve his country. After only a few short weeks, his father received a telegram. His beloved son was missing in action. Within days, his fears were confirmed, and the young man had died while rushing a fellow soldier to a medic. Distraught and lonely, the old man faced the upcoming Christmas holidays with anguish and sadness. The joy of the season would visit his house no longer. On Christmas morning, a knock on the door awakened the depressed old man. As he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hand. He introduced himself by saying, "I was a friend of your son. I was the one that he was rescuing when he died. May I come in for a few moments? I have something I want to show you." As the two began to talk, the soldier told of how the man's son had told everyone of his love of fine art. "I'm an artist," said the soldier, "and I want to give you this." As the old man unwrapped the package, the paper gave way to reveal a portrait of the man's son. Though the world would never consider it a work of genius art, the painting featured the young man's face in very striking detail. Overcome with emotion, the man thanked the soldier, promising to hang the picture above the fireplace, which he did, pushing aside thousands of dollars of other paintings. During the days and weeks that followed, the man realized that even though his son was no longer with him, the boy's life would live on because of those he had touched. The painting of his son soon became his most prized possession. He told his neighbors it was the greatest gift that he had ever received. The following spring, the old man became very ill and passed away. The art world was in anticipation with the collector's passing and his only son dead. Those paintings would be sold at an auction. According to the old man's will, all of the artwork would be auctioned on Christmas Day, the day he had received his greatest gift. The day soon arrived, and the art collectors from all around the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. Dreams would be fulfilled this day. Greatness would be achieved, as many would claim, "I have the greatest collection in the world." The auction began with a painting that was not of any museum's list, not on it. It was the painting of the man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid, and the room was silent. "Who will open the bidding with $100?" he asked. And minutes passed, and no one spoke. And from the back of the room, a man spoke up and said, "Who cares about this painting? It's just a picture of his son. Let's forget it and go on with the good stuff." "No, we have to sell this one first," replied the auctioneer. "Now, who will take his son?" Finally, a friend of the old man spoke, I will take it for $10. That's all I have in my pocket. And I knew the boy, so I'd like to have it. "I have $10, the auctioneer said. "Will anyone go higher?" After more silence, the auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice, sold." And as the gavel dropped, cheers filled the room and someone exclaimed, "Now we can get on with the good stuff." The auctioneer looked at the audience and announced, "The auction's over." Somebody spoke up from the back and said, "What do you mean the auction's over? We didn't come here for a picture of some guy's old son. What about all these paintings? There are millions of dollars of art here. I demand you give me an explanation of why." The auctioneer replied, "It's very simple. According to the will of the father, whoever cared enough to buy the painting of the son gets it all." When we have Jesus, we have it all. We have all the knowledge, we have all the wisdom, we have all the power, and we have all the things that God wants us to have. And in this world full of stress, in this world full of non-understanding, with no peace, we exist in this world, yes. But when we keep our eyes upon the Father, and when we accept Jesus into our life and keep Him in our life, then we have it all. We have all we need. Because our hope now is not on a baby to be born. That baby's already born. Our hope now is the coming Christ, because He said, "I'm coming back again." Amen. He says, "I'm going to come and I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to bring peace to the world that you've never seen before. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And that's the peace that you're going to know. You're going to get it all. If you buy the Son." If you take the Son. It all starts with the Son. Jesus in your heart. That's where we find hope, and that's where we find peace. And sometimes when we're cut down to a stump and it feels like that there's no hope for us and there's never going to be anything that can grow, when Jesus gets in the picture, then a sprout can, it can sprout up and you can be fruitful again. And not just some fruit, but much fruit. Remember what I preached about last Sunday night? Man, that's the hope that we have, right? That's the hope we have, and that's something to be excited about during this season. Just like they did hundreds of years ago when they was in waiting in anticipation for the coming Messiah to bring peace to their life, we now are anticipating the coming of Christ the second time to bring peace into this world and peace into our life. We need wisdom. I do. I need wisdom from God. I do, because I don't have much of it. I'm telling you. But He blesses me with what I need. Doesn't always give me what I want. But I'm telling you, He supplies every need. I've wanted for a lot of things in my life. But it's how we choose to live our life. Guess what it really comes down to? How do you choose to live your life? Is it with Him or without Him in your life? Problems are going to come. Temptations are going to come. Those things are always going to come until we get to heaven. You're just going to, that's part of this world. A world of chaos and a world of stress and problems. Things we deal with at work. Things we deal with at home. Things we deal with our kids and family. I mean, I can keep going on. You guys know. You guys get it. But just know this, if you want real peace in your life, if you want real peace in your life, then take Jesus into your life. Keep Jesus in your life, and you'll have that peace even when you're going through the toughest things that you think you can endure. He will be there for you. Isaiah 48:16 says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my counsel, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Man, I want that river of peace in my life, don't you? You know, the Scripture reminds us that we don't get peace by just doing as we please and living our lives any old way to suit ourselves. It is when we come into the right standing with God and seek to follow His ways that peace will be there. Peace comes with repentance, by turning our lives around and go in a different direction than the world wants us to go. Peace comes with turning towards God and not away from God. This morning, on this second Sunday of Advent, I just ask that you look into your lives this morning. Search your hearts this morning and look at those areas in your life and just give those things to God that you need to just get rid of. Those strongholds, those things that hold you back, those things that keep trying to turn you around the other direction from focusing on God. Just let God have it all. He is all our strength. He is our power. He is our motivation. He is everything. He's got it all for us. And all we have to do is accept it. He has all wisdom. He has all understanding. And He can counsel us in ways that no one else can. Sometimes we all need a counselor. But seek the real counselor. You don't need no medicine with this counselor. He just gives you the Holy Spirit. And that just takes care of all of it. Amen?
Amen.
Isaiah 32:17 says, "The fruit of righteousness, the right standing with God, will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness." I love that. "Will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places." Who wants that, right? No more fighting, no more arguing, no more disunity. No more of that, right?
No more boxing.
Amen.
Amen.
Psalms 119 says, "Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble." I love that. You stay close to God and God will keep you. God will protect you. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much, Lord. Lord God, I thank You for Your mercy. I thank You for Your grace. And I thank You for the peace in my life. Lord, that knowledge that I know, Lord, that one day You're going to come back and You're going to take me to a place where there's peace overflowing, where there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness. All that's going to be gone. That's what we hope for. That's our anticipation, is that day. But Lord, as long as we live here in this world, we keep our eyes on You, and You'll bring that peace when there is no peace. That peace runs in our hearts, and it only comes from You. Lord, I accept You this morning again. Lord, I die every day out to You. And this morning, I just give my life again to You. I praise You. I thank You. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.